Morning. Today's afternoon of Avodah Zarah is Yudal. We are in the Mishnah and Yudgimel Amud Beis. We're in the first parak of the Masechta, five prakim in total. You're going to hear that a little bit later on this morning. It's a good foreshadow for the Gemara upcoming in terms of how many prakim did Avram Avinu have in his Masechta Avodah Zarah. Okay, I'll plant that seed right now, and you'll see later on what the Gemara has to say about that. There are five prakim in the Masechta. We are About three quarters of the way through the first parak of the Masechta, as we hit today, Daf Yudalid. And we are in the Mishnah. The Dapim work out really well in this Masechta. In other words, it's almost like designed for Daf Yomi. As we go from station to station, from Mishnah to Mishnah, this Mishnah continues to list a number of things that one is not allowed to sell to a non-Jew. This listing that the Mishnah is going to give us over here, some of them are really going to be difficult to identify. In fact, later you're going to see the Gemara is going to struggle a number of times on some of the things that are mentioned over here. But the basic idea of this Mishnah is that the list of items in this Mishnah are things that are used year-round for Avodah Zarah. And so previously in the first Mishnah, on Daf Ches, Daf Zayin and Daf Ches, so we were discussing things that were prohibited to sell to them, Lifnei Ideihem, either on the Yom Eid or Lifnei Ideihem, on the pagan festival itself or 3 days prior to the pagan festival. Because at that time of the year, so they are extraordinarily religious, and either they're going to thank their gods, or they're going to be using that which you sell them for Avodah Zarah. Here, these items mentioned in our Mishnah are things that are so designated and so basically assigned for Avodah Zarah that you can't sell to them year-round. That's the basic idea of our Mishnah. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Why don't you give them a base? Eil dvar masom lehem kol ha-vekochavim. So, the Mishnah starts off with listing four things that one's not allowed to sell to a non-Jew. And again, the sale of these items are going to be year-round banned. And they are itstroblim b'no shuach upitotros ulevona v'tarnagol. Now, I'm going to read the Mishnah like the Gemara is going to eventually tell us. Itstroblim is number one, b'no shuach is number two. Pitotros just simply means with their stems, meaning going on both the istroblim and the b'no shuach. Livona is number three, and tarnagol lavan, and the white rooster is number four. So four things mentioned in the Mishnah, which because they're used exclusively for Avodah Zarah, so year-round you can't sell them to a non-Jew. To an idolater. Rav Yehuda Amar Mutal Mekol Tarnagol Lavan Bein Tarnagolim. Rav Yehuda has a leniency, is that if you're selling him a group of roosters, and one of them happens to be white, so that would be okay. Which presumably means that the Chachamim would argue on that point, and stay tuned because the Gemara is going to discuss that. Now, if it's a red, white rooster by itself, so here's what you can do. In other words, you know that generally speaking, their purchasing of the white rooster is going to be used as takrovis avodah zarah. It's going to be offered for their avodah zarah. However, as we also learned earlier in the Masechta, if it's a baal mum, they're not going to offer it. For them, what is the threshold of a baal mum? So we learned this point earlier in the Masechta. Mechusar aver. If it's missing a limb, so then it's considered a baal mum, and then you can't sell it to them. So what the Mishnah here is telling us is that if you cut a limb off of the rooster, so then you can sell it to them because you now know that they're not going to be using it for Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says it beferish. Is it Tzar Balei Chaim? I mean, Tzar Balei Chaim, if there's no purpose in what you're doing, so then yeah. Over here, I mean, okay, could, yeah.
You don't have to sell it though,
right? You're right. But at the same time, you know, you do it, okay. You have to make money. Okay, v'shar kol advarim stama mutar perusha masa. Now, when it comes to other things, anything else, if you're selling it to them generically, in other words, it has not been specified why you're selling it to them, so then it would be okay, but perusha. But if they say to you, hey, I'm using this for avodah zarah, so then it's going to be aser. Gemara is going to ask the question, which is, the Mishnah here seems to be making a really obvious point. Meaning, I have a Mishnah, and the general function of a Mishnah is to teach us something which is chidushim, novel points. Over here, I have an Ovid Chacham come over to you and says, look, I want to buy this item. It's a generic item. It's not one of the, you know, the four items we just learned together in Mishnah. Oh, but he says to you, but I want to use it for idolatry. I need now a Mishnah and a Avodah Zarah to tell me, oh, no, you shouldn't sell it to them. Meaning it's obvious. Gemara is going to ask that question. And finally, Reb Meir Omer Avdekal Tav V'chatzav V'niklav, or Nikolas, Asalim Kor Lo Ovid Chachavim. And Reb Meir adds three more things to the list that you're not allowed to sell to a goy, and again, presumably it's year-round, because these things are exclusively used for Avodah Zarah. What are these three things? So again, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to be discussing it. We are now on the very top of Yudal and Aleph. We start with the Gemara, and here we go with an attempt to try to explain what these things are in the Mishnah. meaning these are items that you cannot sell to a idolater year-round because they are used exclusively for Avodah Zarah. Primarily, I should say. Exclusively is a little too strong. They're used primarily for Avodah Zarah, and so therefore, by you selling it to them, you're going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver. You're going to be aiding and abetting directly with their Avodah Zarah, so therefore you can't sell it to them. So the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah, there are four things altogether in the Mishnah, at least according to the Tanakhama. And the first thing is it's shtroblim. What is that? So the Gemara says it's tornisa. Okay, so it's tornisa. What is tornisa? You're right, you're going to hear that a lot this morning, right? The Gemara is going to explain it, and then the follow-up was, okay, that's really good. What's that? And so with each passing item that we're introduced in the Mishnah, so sometimes we know and sometimes we don't know. Here's an example where we kind of know. It's tornisa. That's great. Okay, if I took a poll around this room and I asked everyone, hey, what's tornisa? So I'm sure I get the same answer that I myself would have given. I don't know. So the so Rashi over here says, min erez vihi shita kedama Rosh Hashanah. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there are 10 different types of cedar trees. One of them is the erez, and the tornisa is presumably a cedar tree. That's how Rashi describes it. You can see Tosfos over here. Tosfos has a lot of difficulty with Rashi because in just a moment we're going to learn together that the Yitzhoblim does not have a root, doesn't take root, meaning it sounds more like it's a mineral, not a plant. Okay, and you see Tosfos inside. Tosfos suggests maybe it's sulfur and it's not a cedar tree. But for our purposes right now, we're going to stay with Rashi and we'll just go with Rashi's pshat. So it's a type of cedar tree. So Verimino, the Gemara says, now I have a difficulty with that based on a Mishnah in Shviyas. The Mishnah in Shviyas over here lists things that were added to the list, meaning we know that during the Shemitah year, so there are a number of things that the land itself you're not allowed to work, and the fruit are going to have Kedushas Peres Shviyas. They're going to have sanctity of the Shemitah year, meaning that any fruit that grows over the Shemitah year is now going to have Kedusha. You can eat it, but that's all you can do. La'achla v'lo l'schara. You can eat the fruit, but you can't do commercial activity with the fruit. You can't do any other activity with the fruit other than eating it. Okay? And also it gets to a point in time in the season where it's subject to biur, where once the fruit is no longer seasonal, once the season of that fruit is over, so then you have to, I'll say it simply, you have to destroy it. Okay? And even that is not clear cut. That's subject to a machlokas, but anyway. So what the Chachamim did is that they noted that there are a number of different produce that was not originally included in Shemitah for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment, and the Chachamim added it to the list. So Osifu Aleim, so here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that what was added to the list is Alachsin, Etstroblin, Moksin, Uvno Shuach. Four different types of produce that were added to the list. So Alachsin, right, the Rashi over here does not identify. Okay, whatever. Alachsin, it's Jobim, Mochsim, no Shurach. Number two on the list of things that were added is it's Jobim, meaning what we're discussing, right? The thing that you're not allowed to sell to an idolater. So the Isaac, Adach, it's Jobim, Tarnisa. Now, let's get this straight. If what you're telling me, you think the Pshat of it's Jobim is Tarnisa means the Bishvias. There is no way that tornisa could be included in peros shviyas because here we have a price as that klal. This is a general rule. Kol sheyesh lo ikar, yesh lo shviyas, v'chol shein lo ikar, ein lo shviyas. If it has a root in the ground, meaning it's basically plant. If it has a root in the ground, it's subject to shmita, but if it has no root in the ground, it's not subject to shmita. Which means that if it's something like a fungus or a mineral where it doesn't take root in the ground, so then it's not going to be subject to shmita. Now, the Yitzhoblim over here, if it was added to the list, it must have had some sort of root, taken root in the ground. So the Zakal Khoshesh Iker Yeshal Shivas Khoshen Loki Iker and Loshvias. El Anav Safra, Perida Arza. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. What we're gonna do is we're gonna go back and we're gonna re-identify and reinterpret what the Yitzhoblim is. It's Perida Arza, it's the fruit that comes off of the Eris. The Chenki Alsa Rabban Amar Avlaza Perida Arza, it's the fruit that comes off of the Eris. What is that? So Rashi describes it as a gall nut. Tosfos offers another pshat as well. Again, see, you can see Tosfos for that as well. Okay, so basically, here's what we learned together. Mishnah tells us things that you're not allowed to sell to idolater year round. First thing mentioned in the Mishnah was the stroblin. What is it? Okay, some sort of nut that comes off of a tree, right? The cedar tree, the gall nut. What's interesting, just what is of interest of note, is that things that were added to the list. Why are they added to the list? So presumably, meaning we're now focusing on that line of Shemitah that we learned together. These are kinds of fruits which are themselves not that chashav, they're not that significant, meaning we won't really, they're not part of our normal diet, and so they are not by themselves subject to the Shemitah regulations, but the Chachamim said since they are eaten, even though sporadically, occasionally, as a fruit, so therefore the Chachamim added to the list. That's the basic idea that we're learning over here. Of the things that are mentioned over here, one of them is Beno Shuach. Beno Shuach is a white fig. Right, that's interesting. A little bit strange. Meaning it's a fig. Fig is one of the fruits. It's one of the major fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Why wasn't that originally part of the Shemitah list? Why did the Chachamim add that to the list? L'chora, take a look at the second Tosfos on the Amud, Mashma de Perigaruhu. In other words, it must be, says Tosfos, that the white fig is an inferior fig. It has to be. Mido doesn't have to be, but it seems that way. Mido sifo aleihem. Aval mikar lo havan agu bo shvius. Meaning originally was not part of the Shemitah regulation because it wasn't that significant a fruit. And it must have been some sort of inferior fig. And because the Chachamim felt like, hey, we're going to include even inferior fruit on the list, so we're going to include the Menoshuach as well. V'chein mashma reish masechet demai, delo nechshu aleim ame aretz, denan ikilu shebenai ha-sichin va-arimin, va-azorjim v'noshuach. Okay, and a Mishnah in Demai seems to support this as well. V'kasha. But Tosu says, but it is difficult because the Beperkama de Shavuos was not that long ago. We saw this back in Masech de Shavuos. Amar gabe Mosros, Mosros Ketzel Mizbeach. Kivinos Sheva La'adam Sha'ochle Mosam Bikinuch Zeuda. Remember what we described back in Shavuos was Ketzel Mizbeach. Ketzel Mizbeach is basically the dessert for the Mizbeach. Meaning that we have basically the base of Mikdash has a slush fund in which any Hekdesh money that goes either surplus or an identified goes into this pushka, and when it's a slow time in the base of Mikdash season, so they're going to be offering these olas as ketzah mizbeach, and there the Gemara Shavuot says, and you know what it's like? It's like when we dessert on the white figs, meaning just like when we have a dessert and eating our white figs, that's like the mizbeach eating these olas for the ketzah mizbeach. And what basically the sense you get from the Gemara Shavuos is, this is dessert fruit. Dessert fruit means that it's pretty substantial. So, amach chashuvas nenu, uveno sheva heim, uveno shuach chidisa bereshis rabba. And in fact, you know how significant it is? So, Tosfos over here quotes a medrash. And the medrash reads, te'enim sha'achal adam arishon ikad dekarlo uveno shuach. In fact, the white fig that was eaten by adam arishon, otherwise known as the Eitz Hadas. So it's called Beno Shuach. Why? Lefishagarmo Shuach LaAdam. Because you know what it did for Adam Arishon? It caused him to bow down. Meaning, bow down here, meaning to lower himself. Meaning he was lowered to Madrega because he ate from the Beno Shuach. Vigata Karole Beno Sheva, Shagarmo Sheva Avelus Adam. Some say it's called Beno Sheva because it has to do with Avelus. In either event, it sounds like it's a very significant fruit. Uveperk Dal Nadarim. And another Mishnah in Nedarim, which also gives us a very clear indication that the white fig is a significant fruit. And so, fine. So the white fig is a significant fruit. So as far as the mission in Demai, which I really didn't explain well, I'm sorry about that. But in other words, it could very well be that's a significant white fig. The white fig is significant. It just happens to be that it's in high supply. So in other words, it's very easy to obtain. So the Amei Haaretz are not going to try to skimp on not taking off Trumas and Maestros on the white fig. And why is it not subject to the original Shemitah list? Because it's an unusual fruit. in which its blossoming and its harvesting are separated by a long time. 3 years, basically, between blossom and harvest. It's an unusual fruit. And so, therefore, because it was so strange, meaning, generally speaking, blossoming and harvesting come in the same year, generally. And so what they thought is that the fruit that are subject to Shemitah are only going to be where the Chanata and the Lakita are happening in the same year. But when you have this kind of like strange, unusual fruit where, with 3 years separated, well, where do I go after? Do I follow the Chanata? Do I follow the Lakita? Meaning it's strange. So that's why it originally was not included in the list of Perishmita, Perishvias, and that's why the Chachamah had to add them to the list. Okay. So anyway, just an interesting discussion in terms of why Bnei Shuach were not originally in the Shemitah list. So Tosfos over here has a really interesting interesting explanation. We go back to the Gemara on Daf Yadal, where are towards the top of the Amud, the two dots, Bnei Shuach. So I know we just spent a long time talking about it. The white fig, Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Teini Chavirta. It's a white fig. Okay, good. Upitotros. Amarava Babachana Amarav Yochan Bipitotrosehem Shana. When the Mishnah says the words Pitotros, so what the Mishnah is saying is that this is not a new item, it's just simply an adjective describing the first two items. Meaning I can't sell neither Yitzroblim or Noshuach to an Avodazar, but only when it has a stem connected to it. Because again, we don't know from these idolatrous practices to us. You know, all this is like new information. But they, the idolaters, only use these fruit for their idolatry only when it has a stem on them. So once the stem is detached, they're not using it for idolatry anymore, and therefore there'd be no prohibition of selling it to them.
They have to hang it.
That's what it would seem to be, that they hang it in front of their idolatry. Lavona. We are now up to the third item of the Mishnah, and that's frankincense. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Malakish, Lavona Zaka. So it has to be fine frankincense. Tano Mikula Mochin Lahem Chavila. If you're selling it to them as a bundle, so then it would be okay, because as they're buying it as a bundle, they're not using it for Avodah Zarah. V'kama Chavila Pirush Rabbi Yehuda Ben Besera, and Chavila Pechusa Mishlosha Manim. It's 3 manas worth of the frankincense. V'lechish Dima Azo Omazman Lachrina Umekatre. So the Gemara says, well, if they're buying it in bulk, so why shouldn't we be concerned with the fact that maybe they're retailers, and what they're going to then turn around and do is then sell it to the consumer. And so basically what you're doing is you're facilitating. Although you're no longer selling it to the end user, you're selling it to the retailer, but still, what's the difference? Interesting Gemara, Amar Abaye, Alifne Mifagdinan, Alifne Delifne Lo Mifagdinan. So the Gemara says because we're two steps removed, and the Isser Torah of Lifnei Iver is only when I'm giving it to the end user. If I'm giving it, however, to the middleman, even though it sounds this is how the Gemara sounds like, even though I know that the middleman is going to turn around and sell it again, that's already too far removed, and the Torah does not prohibit me from the Isser of Lifnei de Lifnei. Okay, there's an interesting Tosfos. It comes up in tomorrow's daf. It comes up at the end of tomorrow's daf. Tosfos suggests that this heter of lifnei de lifnei is only if the middleman is a non-Jew. Why? So Tosfos writes, it's on tomorrow's daf. I'll quote it today, I'll quote it again tomorrow. Tosfos writes not even over the kochavim, meaning simply non-Jews, are not prohibited on the Isra of lifnei iver. Meaning that Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and one of them is not lifnei iver. So in other words, you're selling it to a non-Jew, and now he turns around and sells it. So you're fine, because you didn't sell it to the end user. What about the fact that you're selling it to a non-Jew who is going to then be violating Lifnei Iver? There is no Isser for Lifnei Iver for a non-Jew. And that's why it would be okay. Now, if you're following, what comes out from this Tosfos is that if the retailer is a Jew, so then there's going to be an issue. Tosfos writes that, I'll show you the Tosfos, it's the second last Tosfos on tomorrow's daf. On the Amud Beis, I'll show you the Tosfos inside. And Tosfos says it based on a steer between today's daf and tomorrow's daf. Okay, so we'll do more about this Tosfos tomorrow, but it's really interesting. Continuing in the Gemara, Tarnagol Lavan, the white rooster. Okay, a lot of talk today on the white rooster. Okay, just before the daf today, I was doing my crack research regarding uh, he, he, the uh, I think Cubans or Haitians. Anyway, they do the Haitians. They do some sort of voodoo with a white rooster. So it's not that.
Cubans also,
right? Okay, let's throw them in. So the fine. So anyway, so they do some sort of voodoo practice with roosters. So it's not you know, again, I have not seen it. I don't know much about it. Only heard about it, but it's not, you know, it's not super foreign to us. Tarnagol Oven, we're talking now about the white rooster. So again, the Zman HaMishnah, the white rooster that was bought by the idolater, was used year-round for idolatry, and therefore year-round there's a ban that you're not allowed to sell a white rooster to an idolater. That is the starting point of the whole discussion. Once we start here, the rest of the discussion, I don't want to say it's easy, but just know that one little piece of information, and the rest of the Gemara just flows. Amar Rav Yonah, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Zidvika, Damasi, Amar Rav Yonah, Amar Rav Zera, Tarnagol Lami. Let's say when the idolater comes over to you and he asks for a rooster, he's not specific about the color. Meaning only the white rooster is used for idolatry, but he doesn't come over and ask for a color. Mutalim korlo tarnagol lavan. So then you'd be allowed to sell him even a white rooster. Because when he's not asking you about a specific color, it means that, what does he want? He wants chicken soup. In other words, he just wants a rooster. Only when he's asking for a white rooster, now does it become a problem. Tarnagol lavan lami, asulim korlo tarnagol lavan. If he's asking for a white rooster, so then it would be prohibited. Tanan. Now, this is a psak of Rebbe Zeira, and the Gemara over here is going to challenge. Look at our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda amar mocher hu lo tarnagol lavan, beina tarnagolim. Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah has a heter, which is that if you're selling them a group of roosters, and one of them happens to be a white rooster, that's fine. Now, what was the request that was made? Right, it's an important piece of information that the Mishnah doesn't say. But we're going to do the deduction. Hey, chidami. Elim dekam tarnagol lavan lami, tarnagol lavan lami. If what he's asking is for a white rooster, so then afilu ben tarnagol nami lo. So you can't sell him a group of roosters and one of them happens to be white. You know he wants to do idolatry. He's asking for a white rooster. So I also am selling him black and red roosters as well. So what? You know that with this white rooster that's part of the sale, he's going to do his idolatry. So that can't be what's going on. It must be that what the Mishnah, what he's asking of you is a rooster generically. No color discrimination. He doesn't care about the color. And according to Rav Yehuda, you could sell him now a group of roosters, white, black, and red, and that would be fine. But to sell him even just one white rooster would be a problem. And now back up to the Shita of the Tanakama, meaning Rav Yehuda is being makel. So what does that mean regarding the Tanakama? It means that even though his ask is just stam a tarnagol, and he's not asking for a specific color, you can't sell him a white rooster. Now, if this is the Shita of the Tanakama, so then what are we going to do with it? With the Psak of Rebbe Zeira? Sounds like Rebbe Zeira, at least the way we're learning the Mishnah now, is not going along with the position of the Tanakama. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, kach b'mayiskin kegon d'amar zeh v'zeh. So the Gemara suggests, well, you know what? Maybe the case in the Mishnah is zeh v'zeh. Meaning, along comes the idolater and says, you know what I would like from you? I would like a white rooster and a black rooster. Okay, so he's asking for different roosters. Tanya mihachi, amar Rav Yehuda, emes lai b'zman sh'amar tanagol zeh lavan, aval im amar zeh v'zeh, mutter, afilu amar tanagol zeh. So, and the Gemara quotes a brisa that spells it out. That when he says zeh v'zeh, I want black and white, under those circumstances, according to Rav Yehuda, the sale would be a legitimate sale. Now, why would that be? Meaning, so he's asking for black and white, for multiple color roosters, so now he can sell him a whole bunch of roosters. Why should that be? So let's take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi spells out how now these two shitas work out, meaning the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. Rashi dibra maschal hachabah maizkin and damar zevazeh. Masisin de la Rav Yehuda bifnei atzma lo, la Tanakama legamri aser, kigon, demikara itkar lavan v'shachar v'adam. The case of our Mishnah is where the request that's made of you is, I want, this is what the idolater is asking for, white, black, and red. Okay. Hilkach. Lavan la Rav Yehuda b'fnei atzma also came to mikari itka v'asha shakal lavan v'azolei mikari nami chavan lavan v'hayda atku shachar iru me'irama di'adu di'shal lavan l'chude lo zavan le'yisrael. So, if you sell him just a white rooster, so then that's going to be a problem, meaning according to Rav Yehuda. Now, he said black and red as well, but he's just trying to throw you off his scent, meaning he really wants a white rooster. So if he says, I'd like a white, black, and red rooster, and you sell him just a white rooster, so that's going to be a problem. However, Beina Tarnagol and Mutter. But if I'm selling him now black, white, and red, and his ask was for black, white, and red, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be fine. Because Rabbi Yehuda's argument is, well, look, I know the black and red are not for idolatry, so Migu, since the black and red are not used for idolatry, the white's also not used for idolatry. Okay. And the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, finishing up the Rashi, Afilu Beina Tarnagol and Ami Aser, hold the Katav Lavan. Well, look, he asked for a white. I understand that he also asked for black and red as well. But he asked specifically for a white. And once I sell him a bunch of roosters, and one of them is white, and you heard him ask for a white, he's using it for Avodah Zarah. Umiyo Tarnagol Stama, Bein La Rav Yehuda, Bein La Rabbanan, Motalim Kolo Tarnagol Lavan, Karebi Zera. But that means, though, however, if he doesn't mention a color, he just simply says Tarnagol. So then you can sell him, and you can even sell him a white one, because he wasn't specific about the color. He's not using it for Avodah Zarah. And what we have done now is we have defended Rebbe Zera. Ove Kochavim, back to the Gemara. Ove Kochavim, Sha'asa Mishal of No, Sha'ayil Ocholo B'soch Beso Mutter. Right, in other words, right. Again, this is, like I said in the beginning of the daf, this is year-round. If, let's say, the Ove Kochavim is making a chasna for his son. I don't know if he would call it a chasna, but he's making a chasna for his son. Or, you know that he has to put somebody sick in his house. Chicken soup. You think the idea of chicken soup for a sick person. You think, you know, we came up with the idea. And maybe we did. But it's as old as a brisa, meaning chicken soup for the sick. So you now know somebody's sick in the house and he wants to make chicken soup. So you could sell it to him. Meaning, again, the whole point of our Mishnah is that Mistama, they're going to be using it for idolatry. Primarily, it's used for idolatry. But if you happen to know it's not being sold for idolatry, so then you can sell it to them. Now, the Hatanan, there's just a small problem over here with what we just learned together, and that is, when the Ovi Kochavim is making a chasna for his son, we learned in the Mishnah back on Dav Ches, that's cause for idol worship. Right? Ovi Kochavim Shasa Mishal of Noein Oso Elo Oso Ayom Voso Ish Bavad. But also Yom Vosu Ishmiya Aser, for that person making a chasna for his son on that day, you know that part of the wedding festivity is idolatry. I'm Rav Yitzchak by Rav Misharsha B'Tavzig. So the Gemara says, no, Tavzig, some sort of social function, right? They're picnicking out there. So the brisa that describes that you're allowed to sell them chickens is when they're making a small social function. It's not a wedding. It's not a chasna. And as Rashi writes at the very end, very last line of Rashi over here, lo chashiv kulei hashi akriva lo v'rusko chavim. It's not that important. We're not gonna worship idolatry. If we're talking about a wedding, wedding is so important. Okay, cause for idolatry. But if it's just a picnic, that's not cause for idolatry. Tanan. We go back to our Mishnah again. And really, this is all about the Pesach of Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera says that when he is asking from you for a chicken, he doesn't mention the word white. He just simply says a rooster. So then you can sell him a white rooster because he didn't ask for a color. So the Gemara says, Tanan, v'shar kol adram stamam mutar perushim aser. My stamam wa my perushim. Then the next line of the Mishnah says is that if for anything else, any other item out there in the world, so generically, you can sell it to them. But if he tells you that's for Avodah Zarah, so then you can't sell to him. Now, Ile Mastama de Kamarchiti Chivarte Perushim de Kamalavus Kochavim, Lo, Staman Tzricha Lamemar, Dimizdamninan, Velo, I'm sorry, Lo, Staman Tzricha Lamemar, Dimizdamninan, Velo, Perushim Tzricha Lamemar, Delo Mizdamninan. Like I said back in the Mishnah, let's say we're talking about wheat, okay? And he now is asking from you, you know what I would like from you? I'd like white wheat. Okay, so he's asking for white wheat. And look, this is maybe what the Mishnah means. If he says, I'd like to buy for you white wheat, and doesn't explain why, so he could sell it to him. Because he's probably going to eat it. That's what he wants. That's what he wants with it. And if he says to you, "I want white wheat because I have my idolatrous practice, which includes white wheat, and so therefore, can I please have white wheat because I need it for my idolatry?" So that you can't sell it to him. And what bothers the Gemara is that can't be the Pshat in the Mishnah, because what's the novel point? Meaning everything there is obvious. The first point is obvious: white wheat. And it doesn't explain why you could sell it to him. Of course, it's food. And white wheat because I need it for idolatry. You can't sell it to him. He told you it's for idolatry. What's the point of the Mishnah? So, Ella, stamam dekamar, chiti, perushin dekamar, chivarta. Oh. So it must be that stam and perush of the Mishnah must mean the following. Stam means where he asks you for wheat, not clarifying what color. Perushan is where he says, I'd like white wheat. Oh. And then what the Mishnah is telling us is, michlal detarnagol afilu stamam, nami lo amre. So, and if that's the correct pshat in the Mishnah, then when we're talking about wheat, when he says wheat without specifying a color, you're fine. When he says wheat and he specifies white wheat, oh, it's because it's he needs it for his idolatry. And therefore you can't sell it to him. Now back up to roosters one more time. So in the case of roosters, so what is that telling me? That even by roosters, because they're so predominantly used for idolatry, specifically the white rooster, even when the request is rooster and he doesn't mention a color, you can't sell him a white rooster. And if this is correct, so once again, we seem to have now debunked the opinion of Rabbi Zeira. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, we're going to go back to what we suggested previously. Stam means he asked for white wheat. Perushan is where he asked for white wheat for idolatry. And our question was, well, what's the chiddush? That's obvious. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Uperushan it's the rechlei. And the second case is necessary. Why? Sakda chamina haigavar lav avodus kochavim kabai. Ela mevikhu da'avik ba'avodus kochavim. So the Gemara says, look, even when he says, I need white wheat for idolatry, it could very well be that he doesn't need it for idolatry. Now, I know he's telling you that he needs it for idolatry, but the Gemara over here has such a profound psychological insight. You know, I think, okay, and I say this about me, I say this about everybody. And the Gemara says it's just a general truism when it comes to people and how they think. If it's important to me, it's got to be important to you as well. I think it's important, therefore, you must think it's important as well. And therefore, I'm going to tell you about things that you don't care about because I think you must care about it because I care about it. And so the Gemara says, you have this guy over here who loves his Avodah Zarah, can't stop thinking about his Avodah Zarah. He comes over to you and he says to you, look, I want to buy some white wheat. I need it for my idolatry. He doesn't really need it for his idolatry. But look, he thinks that if it's important to him, it must be important to you as well. So, Savar, ki echidahu gavra avik bay, kule aminami aviku. So he thinks, look, if it's important to me, it's got to be important to you. And so I'm going to say it's for idolatry because, you know, like I just, you know, you're going to for sure sell it to me because, you understand, I really need it. It's for idolatry. It's for dinner tonight. But, you know, I'll say it's for idolatry. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, and the only reason why he's saying it to this is just simply to finalize the sale. To make you excited about the sale. But he's not really using it for idolatry. Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, that's the Hav Amina. It's a really interesting Hav Amina. But the Maskan, of course, is that if he's saying he's using it for idolatry, you should believe him. He's going to use it for idolatry, and therefore you're not allowed to sell it to him. Okay.
Could be.
Right, it's like me saying, you know, I love this, you love it as well. You understand. Like I really need it. You're right. You get me. You know how important it is to us. Okay. Anyway, what comes down now is the Gemara has successfully defended the Shita of Rabbi Zeira. When the person is asking for a rooster, even though the white roosters are predominantly used for Avodah Zarah, but he didn't specify that he wanted white. Rabbi Zeira says he could sell him a white rooster. Our Mishnah could be read against Rabbi Zeira, but the Gemara has time and again defended the opinion of Rabbi Zeira. Continuing in the Gemara by Rav Ashi, Tarnagol Lama Katua Lami. Okay, a couple more detailed questions regarding the white rooster. I know the Gemara really is spending a lot of time on this white rooster. Let's say he comes over to you and he says, I want a white rooster, but I want it dismembered. Just in other words, with a leg cut off of it. As we've already established earlier this morning, they can't offer it for Avodah Zarah. So he's asking you now for it with a leg missing. So since he's asking for it where it's dismembered, so I could sell him a white rooster, even if it's whole, because his request seems to be indicating that it's not for idolatry. Or maybe no, maybe it's just simple harama, meaning he's just trying to throw you off his scent. He really wants it for idolatry. He knows that if he asks for a white rooster, you're not going to sell it to him. So he says, white rooster with the leg katua, with the leg cut off, and with the hope that you don't have such a white rooster. The only white rooster you have is a complete one. And basically, he's trying to trick you into selling him a white rooster.
Well, would he ask for a white rooster with a cut leg? Because
right. The better strategy for him would be to ask for a rooster. Right. In Tim Salamah, Hayirumahu Dekama Arim. So the Gemara says, okay, let's assume that he's trying to trick you. So then the Gemara says, well, follow-up question. Tarnagol lav lami, tarnagol lav lami, v'yav le'shach v'shakal. V'yav le'adam v'shakal. Ma limkor lo lavan. So let's say he asks for a white rooster. You start off by selling him a black rooster. He buys it. You then sell him a red rooster. He buys it. So now, can you surmise that he's not using it for idolatry? He bought the black one from me. He bought the red one from me. It must be that he needs roosters. That's all. Not for idolatry. Again, maybe this is just another form of harama. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay. And as we finish up the daf today, with the last line of the Mishnah that we have to cover, is that Rabbi Meir adds three more things to the list. So the Mishnah over here operates with the numbers 4 and 3. 4 things in the beginning of the Mishnah which are used primarily for Avodah Zarah, you cannot sell to them year-round. It's Droblin, Beno Shuach, Lavon, and Tarnagol Lavon. Fine. Reb Meir adds 3 more things to the list, and that is the Dekoltav, the Chatzav, and the Niklav or Niklas. What are these things? Rabbi Meir Omer Avdeka V'chule. Amalei Rav Chisov La'avime. Rav Chisov says the following to Avime. Gemiri, we have the following tradition. Avodas Kocham Da'avram Avinu Dal Me'os Pirkei. Havyan. I mentioned this in the introduction to the Masechta. Avram Avinu had also Masechta Avodah Zarah. He also had some form of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, his Masechta Avodah Zarah was 400 prakim long. Okay, that's a long Masechta. Right? Our longest Masechta is Masechta Kalim of 30 prakim. Right? Shabbos is 24. Right? We also have Nezikin. Baba Kama Metzia Basra used to be one big Masechta, 30 prakim. A Masechta 400 prakim? Okay, it's a big Masechta. Now, Avram Avinu, right? In other words, I'm just going to explain the Gemara Kipshuta. And I think the Pshat is very simple. Avram Avinu was surrounded by Avodah Zarah, meaning that was his battle. His battle was monotheism versus polytheism. And so he was steeped in Avodah Zarah. So, in other words, there were many more details to know about Avodah Zarah. So his Masechta was a lot longer.
Isn't the number 400 usually for as a Guzman?
Yeah, hyperbole. Yeah. But, okay. The point is, it's a really big Masechta. The Anan Chamisha Tanan. And we have, in our Masechta of Avodah Zarah, a whopping 5 prakim. And Velo Yadin and Maika Amrin. And Avime now is expressing his frustration. Sorry. Rav Chis is expressing his frustration to Avime. 5 prakim is all we got, and I still don't know what's going on. I mean, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around the 5 prakim of Avodah Zarah that we have. Umay Kasha. So Avime says to Rav Chis, so let me try to help you out. What's so difficult? So Diktani, Ramer Omer Abdekotav, Chatzav and Niklas. So he goes over our Mishnah, the first parak of Avodah Zarah. So it didn't take him long to get stuck in Avodah Zarah. He's in the first parak. And Reb Meir adds to the list, also lim kol ov dekol chavim. Dekol tavu delo mizdavninan, ha dekol bish mizdavninan. So the good palm tree, you can't sell to a guy. The bad dekol, you're allowed to sell to a guy. What? Vatanan. Ein mochim lamba mechuba lakarka. We're going to learn at the end of this first parak of Avodah Zarah that you cannot sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. It's based on a pasuk of Lo Sechanem. We're going to be discussing it in just less than a week from now. Daf to and Daf Yates. So, what comes down now is that once the tree's in the ground, I can't sell it to a guy. What difference does it make whether it's good or bad? It's connected to the ground, it's property. Can't sell it to a guy. Like, what is going on in our Masechta? So, Amalei, my dekaltav, Peres dekaltav, Echein Amravuna, Peres dekaltav. Solution, we're not talking about the tree. We're talking about the fruit. Chatzav, chashba. I'm sorry, kashba. Okay, important correction. So chatzav is kashba. Good. And you're going to then ask me, what is kashba? Okay, that's right, wonderful. So it's a kind of date, says Rashi. And niklas, and what about niklas? Kiyasa ravdimi amar avcham bar Yosef, koryata. So niklas is koryata. The third thing mentioned by Reb Meir. That's good. Amalei abai l'ravdimi tana niklas v'lo yadina mahu. So Abai says to Rav Dimi, look, I have a Mishnah and I know Rav Meir added Niklas to the list of things that you can't sell to an idolater. And so you were helpful in telling me that it's Koryata. But you were helpful, but really not that helpful. Because V'atamar Koryata V'lo Yadin and Mai, Ahanaslan. So now you told me that it's Koryata, so that's great. So now I left the base measures today. I now know that Niklas also goes by Koryata. That's great. I still don't know what that is. And so Yeshe Koach, but, you know, it's not a big Yeshe Koach. Small Yeshe Koach. So, and really, no Yeshikoch. You didn't help me. So, Amalei Ahanaluchu. So he says, that's not true. I did help you. Right? In other words, even though information, this is just a good lesson for today, even though information is not immediately helpful, don't balk at it. Don't balk at extra information. Because the Chi Azlas Hasam, because you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, Amar Luhu Niklas, so you'll mention Niklas of our Mishnah, Velo Yade, Amar Luhu Koryata, so then try your new vocabulary word. So now you know that Niklas is Koryata. So as for Koryata, V'yada v'kam machvulach. So then they're going to show you what Koryata is. So just because you right now don't immediately benefit from this new piece of information you have, don't balk at it. It may be helpful later on. It'll be a clue to get you to the next point. So it's good lesson of the day. Right? Everything we're learning over here in the Mishnah may not be immediately helpful, but okay. But these are, you know, for some of the time, most of the time, you know, we pretty much follow what's going on, but some of the time we don't. Okay, but it'll be a good clue in terms of helping us. Okay, let's recap. Today's daf, we introduced the things that you're not to sell to idolaters year-round because it's primarily used for Avodah Zarah. The Tanakhama has four things that are mentioned. The white rooster with the limb cut off would be fine because that they can't use for idolatry. Anything else? As long as it's Tom, you're allowed to sell it to them, but if they're Mefarsh, they're telling you it's for Avodah Zarah, you can't sell it to them. Rav Meir adds three more things to the list. And then, really, our entire daf today was dedicated to trying to identify what these items were, looking at scenarios of harama, where it may be the Ovi Kocham is trying to take you off the scent that he's using it for idolatry. And a really interesting concept that we learned in the course of today's daf is this idea of lifnei de lifnei, that if I'm selling it to a retailer, and he then turns around and sells it to an idolater, so you're in the clear, you'd be okay. As we discussed briefly today, I'm going to mention again tomorrow, that may only be where the retailer is a god. And again, I explained it earlier today why that should be, and tomorrow I'll explain it again as we're going to hit the topic again tomorrow.